All right. Chof Amud Bey, the Mishnah at the bottom. Continuing on this topic of when we do and don't believe Eidim, as far as their signatures. You have two Eidim coming to certify their signatures. So Reuven, Eid number one, Reuven says, hello, this is my handwriting, and this is the handwriting of my friend. So I recognize that this is my signature, and I recognize that this is my fellow aide, Shimon's signature. And Shimon conversely says the same thing. I recognize my signature, and I also recognize my friend Reuven's. And there's no problem. Then we believe him, because that then it's fine. For each signature, there are two witnesses. However, what if each one of them only recognizes his own signature? So you only have one aide on each signature. Is that good enough or not?
What is the Mishnah? Because these two cases, which is
because we're talking about one case, we have two Eidim on each signature, and one we only have one Eid on each signature.
They could have said if one recognizes his own hand and not the other one.
That's exactly the second case. He says, I recognize mine, I don't recognize my friend.
But what do we need to say?
Because I don't understand. The second case is the one that there's a machlokas about.
That's the only one we need.
Okay, but so to introduce it, the mission talked about the previous case where each one recognizes his own and his friend's. Mm-hmm. So what do? You only have one witness on each signature. Is that good enough? So Rebbe says it's not good enough. You need to bring somebody else in as well who recognize both of them. Or two different Eidim, one other one who recognized Reuven, and one other one who recognized Shimon. The Chachamim say you don't have to include somebody else with you. You believe a person to say this is my signature. You don't need two Eidim on that.
The two Eidim in general Jewish law have to testify to the entire Eidus.
Let's learn the Gemara and see. The Gemara says, when you analyze the situation.
That's why the first part of the Mishnah, Pashat is not why they're bringing it. So, your question.
So, Taka, what is the answer? Because I didn't see that. Okay. One possibility is we are going to have later in the perek the discussion about if you have Reuven saying Eidus about Shimon and Shimon saying Eidus about Reuven, where in some cases we say it's fine and in some cases we say no, it looks like Goimlin, like they're just trying to slap each other, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. So it could be one of their answers is something like that. The Mishnah has to inform us that that's not a problem over here. So Gemara says, Kshetim Tzeloimar, if you analyze the situation, if you analyze the opinions of Rebbe and the Chachamim, what it comes out, L'divrei Rebbe Aksav Yodim Hein Me'idin, it comes out, according to Rebbe, when they're coming to validate their signatures in Beis Din, essentially what they're coming is to validate the actual signatures. Well, then you need two witnesses for each signature. And therefore, if you only have one, then you need to bring in somebody else. Whereas according to the Chachamim, we would say no, the signatures are sort of a side thing. Primarily what they're certifying, primarily what they're testifying about is that Levi owes Yehuda $100 or whatever the amount that's written in the shtar. So therefore, each one of them is validating his own signature. Good. The two of them, the combination of the two of them together, gives us a kosher shtar. You only need one witness for each signature. There's a few different ways, by the way, of explaining this point. Tosfos Rid on the side over here says relates this to the discussion that we mentioned yesterday between the Rambam and the Ravid about the question: do the Eidim, when they're coming to testify about their signatures, do they have to remember the actual original thing that they signed on? Remember where we said, according to the Rambam, if they've completely forgotten it, then they can't give Eidus. So the Tosfos Rid takes the view then that what we're saying is the Rebbe holds according to the Rambam. When we say Al Ksav Yadam Hein Me'idin, in other words, we can explain Rebbe's opinion here in the Gemara based on what the Rambam says. That when we say that they're testifying Al Ksav Yadam, it means that they have to be testifying that we know what we signed about, and if not, then no. Whereas according to the Chachamim, we would say more like the Ravid, even if they don't remember the matter itself, as long, the fact is they signed on this shtar that says this is a mana. And so as long as they can certify that they signed this shtar, we don't care whether they remember the actual situation. The Rambam himself may understand it the other way around, given that the halacha is like the Chachamim, the Rambam may understand it the other way around, that Rebbe is saying that Rebbe would be saying they don't have to remember the situation, they just have to remember, they just have to recognize their handwriting, whereas according to the Ravid, you would say according to the Rambam, which would be the Chachamim, you would say they have to actually remember the Monash of Ishtar. Anyway, the question is, Pshita, well, okay, isn't that obvious? Isn't that obvious that's the crux of the discussion between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Because obviously, if Rebbe is saying you need two witnesses for each signature, that means he's considering you need Eidos on Reuven's signature and you need Eidos on Shimon's signature. Well, of course, then you need two Eidim for that. Whereas according to the Rabbanon, all you need is one Eidos on the Monash of Ishtar, and therefore, of course, once you have the Reuven and Shimon validating each other. Yes, yes. So isn't that obvious? Why did the Gemara even need to point that out?
But the Chaim saying that you need an Eidos on the Mana, the Eidos on the Mana is by the two Eidim.
Right, that's the thing. But they're saying all you need is the two Eidim. As long as Reuven recognizes his signature and Shimon recognizes his, that's good enough. The combination of the two of them together, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, each one of them effectively half of the document depends on them. Good, so the two of them combined together, you have one whole document. Whereas according to Rebbe, that's not enough. We're treating it as if we have two different things that have to be testified on. Number one, that Reuven signed this, and number two, that Shimon signed this. And each one needs to aid him. So that's the question. Pshita, isn't that obvious that's the point of their argument? The answer is, Ma'ur detemer, the Rebbe sepokim esapkalei, because you might say it's not that Rebbe knows for sure that they're only testifying about their signatures. Rebbe might actually be doubtful, that Rebbe is not sure, do we consider that they're testifying fundamentally about their signatures or about the Monash of Ishtar? And what would be the nafkamina, what would be the practical difference, whether Rebbe has a suffix or whether he knows for sure? Hecha the mischad minayu, because what happens if one of these Edim died? Libi shnayim min ashuk ahayid olav. Then you should need two people to come and give Eidos on his signature. Why is that? You have to consider like this. If the two of them were alive, then we say each one of them can testify on his own signature, and Rebbe says, fine, you have one other person comes and testifies on both of them, then we're good. Each pair of Eidim, then half of the shtar depends on them. But if one of them has died, so what would happen if we were to say now that the aide who's still alive, Reuven, is going to say, I recognize my signature. And he's also going to say, I recognize Shimon's. Now, we would say the fact that he recognizes his signature, good, that's it. We would say, according to Rebbe, you need two aide. Well, so that's the thing. According to Rebbe, if we said that there was a suffix, then it would mean like this. We're not sure whether you need one aide or two aide for each signature. So we would say like this then. When Reuven says, I recognize my signature, we would say, we're not sure. Is that good enough, or do we need somebody else to join with him? But there's a possibility that half the shtar already depends on Reuven. Now, what happens? Let's move over to Shimon's signature. Shimon's dead. He can't testify on it. If Reuven himself is going to be one of the two Eidim who's going to testify on it, then you have a problem. Three-quarters of the validity of the shtar now depends on one person, on Reuven. And you can't do that. So therefore, we would argue that you need two witnesses who aren't signed on the shtar to certify Shimon's signature, and that way we'd cover our bases. Because otherwise, if you don't have two people to come testify on Shimon's signature, if you're going to have Reuven plus one other person, you might have the possibility that you're having three-quarters of the money is getting transferred based on one witness. Therefore, v'hachalachomra. So you should argue that if it's a matter of a suffix, according to Rebbe, we would say in either case you have to go l'chumra. Namely, we would say if both of them are alive, then we would go l'chumra and say each one is considered to be testifying on their own signature. Therefore, you need each one of them is good enough to validate their own signature, but you need one more witness for each one of them. And if one of them is dead, then it's not good enough to say that the one surviving witness can testify on the other one. You're going to need two other people to do that. That would be if we said that it was a suffix, according to Rebbe. Kamash Malan, that is the chiddush of the stomach to Gemara at the beginning. Did Rebbe mifshit pshitalei ben l'kula ben l'chomra? That no. Rebbe knows for a fact that al-ksav yadim hein me'idim, that each signature needs a separate testimony on it. And therefore, there's no reason to be machmur. There's no suffix over here. There's no question that whether the mona is going to be going or not going based on their testimony. So if one of them is dead, it comes out, you can be makel. You can say, since each one is testifying only on the signature, then yes, Reuben can testify on his together with somebody else. Reuben can also testify on Shimon's together with somebody else, and you're covered. Because each signature has two edim on it now. That's the Kamash Malon, because if not for that, we would have thought that Reuben is disqualified from testifying about Shimon's signature at all. Shimon is dead.
Not only that each signature has two edim, it's that each signature has two edim, and then one aid can also testify on both signatures.
That's what we're saying. If it was a suffix, we wouldn't allow that if one of them was dead. Right. That's the point. Da'amar of Yehuda, Da'amar Rav, and we know that because Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Shnayim achasumim al ashtar mesechad mehen, that if two people are signed on a shtar and one of them died, tzrichim shnayim in ashuk lahoyed olav. He says you need two people from the street, two people who are not signed on the shtar, to give edus. Bezur Rabbi Lakula v'Rabban of Chumra. Here is a case where Rabbi is mekel and says where Rabbi is mekel and says that you don't need two off the street, you only need one, because again, Reuben can testify on his own signature, and Reuben plus this other guy can testify on his. Reuben plus this other guy can also testify on Shimon's, and we're not worried about that. Whereas the Rabbanan would be Machmir, given that the Rabbanan are saying, essentially the testimony is about the money that's in the shtar, then you can't have three quarters of the validity of the shtar depend on Reuben, and therefore you need two other people to testify on Shimon's signature. That way you have Reuben says on his, and that's good enough, and then you need two other people to say on Shimon's.
That's the halacha.
So we're going to get to it in a minute, that the halacha is like the Rabbanan, but yeah. So the point is, given that Rabbi Yehuda said that in the name of Rav, and he says clearly that here Rebbe is being mekel and that Rabbanan are being machmir, then we know that obviously Rebbe is not saying what he says in the Mishnah based on a suffix, because then he couldn't possibly be mekel. The fact that he's mekel indicates that he knows for sure that it's al ksav yadim. Okay, question becomes, v'leketrei el achad mai, so what do we do if we can't find two people to recognize Shimon's signature? Shimon is dead. We don't have two people who recognize a signature. We only have one. What do you do? According to the Chachamim, what you have in this case is, you have Reuben indeed recognizes Shimon's signature, but we're saying according to the Rabbanan that's not good enough, because now you're going to have that three quarters of the validity of the shtar depends on Reuben. We're saying you're supposed to get two other people to certify Shimon's signature. What if you can't find two other people? You only have one other person. Reuben is jumping up and saying, you know what, I recognize his signature, but we can't count it. What do we do? The answer is, Omer Abaya, Lichtiv Chasimas Yodei Achaspa, we should have Reuben write his signature on a piece of clay, on a piece of earthenware, V'shadi Lei B'Beidina, and then throw that into Beidin, meaning put that in the presence of Beidin. Beis Din can certify it. We mentioned yesterday that Rambam described there's five ways that you can certify a signature, that Beis Din can certify a signature. One of them is that the aid signs in front of us and Beis Din compares the signatures. This is what we're talking about over here. Instead of Reuben giving aiders, yes, this is my signature, I recognize it, instead we do a handwriting comparison. We have Beis Din act as graphologists. We have Reuben write his signature on a piece of clay, give that to Beis Din. Beis Din will compare it. Then he doesn't need to testify on his own signature, because Beis Din themselves is able to compare it and realize that it's
so
the same. Then it's good. Now he and the other guy from off the street can go and testify on Shimon's signature, and we're good. Now half the validity of the shtar depends on Reuben's testimony, or rather one quarter of it really depends on Reuben's testimony, together with this other guy, that makes up half. The other half of the shtar, Reuben's signature, doesn't depend on anybody's address. It depends on Beis Din comparing the signatures, and therefore we're good.
That's according to the
Chachamim. That's what we're saying. According to the Chachamim, you have that loophole. But the Gemara points out, now why did we say he writes it on a piece of earthenware? The Davka Achaspa, he should specifically write it on a piece of earthenware. Avalama Giltaloi, don't have him write it on a piece of parchment. Because what happens if you have a piece of parchment floating around with Reuben's signature on it? Somebody unworthy might find it. And then he'll write whatever he wants on it. He'll write a whole document on top of it. I owe, you know, I owe, I owe you sucker $100 or whatever. And it'll be and it'll have a certain validity it's based in. Hutnan, we learn in a Mishnah at the very end of Bava Kama, at the very end of Bava Basra, if one person brings out against another one a document that he owes him money, so this Yisachar over here brings out a document signed with Reuven's signature at the bottom, where Reuven writes where the text of the document says, I, the undersigned, owe Yisachar $100. Then he's entitled to collect the debt from Bnei Chorin, from property that actually still belongs to Reuven. We talked yesterday about the idea of Shibud, that usually a creditor has the right to collect even from property that the borrower owned at the time and since sold. In this case, we don't do that because there's no edim on it. There's no edim, so therefore there's no koil. You can't expect people to have known of this loan. The whole idea behind that shibud is we say, When Reuven has borrowed money from somebody else, everybody knows about it because there's a shtar, there were witnesses, it becomes a well-known thing. Therefore, when anybody buys real estate from Reuven after that, they know they're taking a chance. They know that there's a possibility that this property may end up being taken away to satisfy the debt. If there's no pirsum, if the thing wasn't publicized in this case where there's no edim on it, then you can't expect people to know that. So you don't have the right to take away mishabadim, property that was already sold to other buyers. You don't have a right to take it away from them, but you do have a right to collect from Reuven himself. So therefore, Reuven would be well served to not write his name on a blank piece of parchment, because they could end up writing a whole document on top of it. Look, there's your signature at the bottom.
Even if it's a call and someone moves into the town and did not know about the call that happened at that time.
That's not it. He's expected to find out. Before you buy a piece of real estate, you should go try to find out the facts.
Yeah. That's what they used to do.
I guess that's what they used to do, yeah. In a different context, in the context of the dinim of Chazaka, the Gemara uses the expression chabra chabra isla. Your friend has a friend, your friend's friend has a friend, you know, social networking. So, you're expected to find these things out.
Reuven gives the
live aid. Sure, but afterwards Beis Din throws it in the trash and the janitor comes and, whatever.
They didn't have shredders in
it. Yeah. Tosfos points out, by the way, Tosfos points out two things. First of all, is you don't necessarily have to have the guy write it on Davka on a piece of earthenware. It would be good enough then, by the same token, if you write it at the top of the piece of parchment. If you write it at the top, then there's no way you can write anything on top of it. A shtar is signed at the bottom, so there's no concern that somebody is going to write a shtar and say, I, the oversigned, and nobody oversigns the shtar.
Or a small piece, somebody
said. Yeah, it would be the same thing for the small piece. Yeah, it would be the same thing also for the small scrap piece. Yeah. The other thing Tosfos points out is, what's the implication of it here? Are we saying that a shtar that's written on cheres, on a piece of earthenware, is no good? We actually find in Kiddushin and in some other places that you can write a shtar on cheres. A get can be written on cheres, yeah. So Tosfos makes the distinction, and the Shach has a long discussion about it in Choshen Mishpat, about the difference between those two different kinds. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the difference itself. There's a difference between shtaros of kinyan, where you only need the shtar for a short period of time, where there it can indeed be written on earthenware, or like a get, for example. A get just has to, it has to be written, handed over, and then that's it. The get itself is not really needed anymore. So that you can write on earthenware. We're not concerned. What's the concern about writing on earthenware? The concern is, when you write on parchment, if it's erased, if someone were to take the parchment and erase and rub off the ink or scrape it off or whatever, it would be noticeable. People would be able to distinguish that from clean parchment, and therefore they'd realize there's something fishy over here. With earthenware, you can't do that. With earthenware, if you write on it in ink,
it dries,
but then you can scrape off the ink and nobody's going to be the wiser. So the difference is, with a shtar kinyan, with something that you just need for a short while, we're not worried about that. Something that's meant to be kept as a raya for a long time, like a shtar chayv that we're talking about over here, that can't be written on cheres. That can't be written on earthenware. And in fact,
because
it's too easy to forge. It's too easy to take a piece of earthenware that one thing was written on it and scrape it off and write something else, and nobody's going to realize.
You're talking about writing on earthenware with ink.
With ink.
Not within the clay.
No, we're talking about writing with ink. Okay. They found in archaeological digs in Eretz Yisrael, they found thousands of pieces of broken broken shards of earthenware written on with ink. They used to use them for all kinds of purposes. They used to use them for letters. They found a whole collection. They found whole collections of letters like this in a few different places. They used it for tax receipts. They used it for all kinds of things. But so here, what we're saying is, if you do it, yeah. So things like that, a letter you don't need to keep for a long time, a tax receipt you don't need to keep for a long time. So therefore, fine, go ahead and write it on earthenware. But something like this that we're talking about, an IOU, which is supposed to be kept for a long time as a proof until the debt gets paid back, you have to write it on something that can't easily be erasable and forgeable, namely parchment. And in fact, the Gemara's standard expression throughout Shas, whenever it talks about a document that's possible for one reason or another, the Gemara's standard expression for it is chaspa, meaning a piece of earthenware. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'divrei chachamim." The halacha is like the chachamim that we say almana shebishtar hein me'idin. So therefore, you only need one aid. Therefore, you only need one aid for each signature, and you're good enough. And you're good enough. Or in the case we said in the case where one aid is dead, then you need two other aidim to testify on Shimon's signature. Well, of course. I mean, we know whenever there's an individual tanner who argues against the rabbim, the halacha is always like the rabbim. Yeah. The answer is mau detaim halacha to Rabbi Mechaveira v'afilu Mechaveira, because we might think, we know there's a general rule that the halacha is like the Rebbe when he's arguing against one other tana. So we would have thought, if it weren't for Shmuel stating this, we would have thought v'afilu Mechaveira. It's not only against one other tana, maybe it would even if he's arguing against the Rabbim. Chamash Malan, that's the chiddush that not.
That's why he was arguing against.
No, he was arguing against the Chachamim. But we know there's a general rule that halacha to Rabbi Mechaveiroi.
Right.
You would have thought, maybe it's not only Mechaveiroi, maybe there's a general rule that halacha is like Rabbi. The chiddush is that no, the halacha is not like Rabbi when he's arguing against Rabbim, as in our case over here. And the Gemara gives the Gemara is going to bring a challenge to this. A simon for it, simon nach nad chad, because we're going to have three different versions of who the Amora was who brought up this question. Nach stands for chinina bar chia, nad stands for rabhunna bar yehuda, and chad stands for chia bar yehuda. Again, not always do they use the first letter of each one, they use like the one that sounds loudest or whatever.
Do you remember this?
No. Anyway, so Amalei Rav Chinah, I'm sure there's a deeper meaning in it also. Amalei Rav Chinah bar Chiyah l'Rav Yehuda, v'Amalei Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rav Yehuda, v'Amalei Rav Chiyah bar Yehuda l'Rav Yehuda. So whichever Amalei it was, one of these three, asked Rav Yehuda, Umir Amar Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say that? That halacha is like the Chachamim in this case? Who started the Nafik Mibedina de Mar Shmuel? There was a case of a shtar that came out of the Beis Din of Mar Shmuel of Shmuel, the Amora that we were just talking about, where it had been certified by Beis Din. The Beis Din had looked over the signatures, had validated, had Edim validate them using whatever one of the approved validation methods. They'd written a henpik on it. They'd written an official statement on the shtar that the Beis Din of Mar Shmuel has certified it as a valid star. The Havakzive and the Henfik said as follows: Mida Osir of Rav Onan Bar Chiya v'Asid Achsimas Yode v'Adchad Deime. Given that Rav Onan Bar Chiya came and testified about his signature as well as the signature of the other person who signed with him, Umanu Rav Chanan Bar Rabba, and who was that person who signed with him? Is Rav Chanan Bar Rabba. And also Rav Chanan bar Rabba v'asid achsimus yadei v'adchad de'ime. And Rav Chanan bar Rabba came and testified about his signature and the other guy with him, Uman Rav Onan bar Chiya. So in other words, basically it's the first case of our Mishnah, that each aide testified on his signature and the other guy's signature. Therefore, Ashar Nui, therefore we've certified this document, V'kiyam Nui, and we've declared it valid, Kidachazi as is proper. So what's the point? If Shmuel says the halacha is like the Chachamim, you don't even need that. We said all you need is the second case of the Mishnah according to the Chachamim. Rav Onan says this is my signature. Rav Chanan says this is mine. Finished. What do they have to write in the henpik that each one certified the other one's signature as well? Amalei. So Rav Yehuda answers whoever it was that asked the question. Hahu shtarah the Yasmi Hava. That was a special case. That shtar was one that belonged to Yisoimim. It was one where the Yisoimim are going to be, where orphans are going to be using it to collect the debt. Shmuel was concerned that what happens if we only write that Rav Hanan validated his signature and Rav Hanan validated his, what's going to happen? You may have a Beis Din. This document may end up in the presence of Beis Din who makes a mistake. That Beis Din might figure as follows. They might figure, the Beis Din might figure, normally, yes, we say the halacha is like Rebbe only when he's against a Das Yachid, but not when he's against the Rabbin. But in this case, in this case, we might argue, given the logic that we mentioned before about that Rebbe had said that maybe we could argue maybe a Beis Din, some other Beis Din might make a mistake and think that the halacha is like Rebbe in this case. And therefore, Sabar, so Shmuel figured, Evid Ravcha, let me make sure to write it as clearly as possible on the document. That way the orphans don't end up losing out. This way there's no possibility that another Beis Din will mistakenly think that this shtar is no good.
Because they don't know the halacha.
They may think the other, not because they don't know the halacha. The halacha is not any different for Yisraelim than for anybody else. What Shmuel is saying is like this. If this document had belonged to somebody, it had belonged to an adult, then I wouldn't worry about it. Fine. I'd just write that Rav Hanan recognized his signature, Rav Hanan recognized his, good enough. But in this, because it belonged to Yisraelim, Shmuel figured, let's go the extra mile. Let's make sure there's no possibility so what would happen in that case? If the henpeck said Rav Hanan recognized his signature, Rav Hanan recognized his, and it came to a Beis Din Toya, they might say it's not a good document because each one, there's only one aid on each signature. Maybe we hold like Rebbe who says you need two aid on each signature. Okay, it's an adult. He can take care of his own affairs. Because we're talking about Yisraelim over here, Shmuel figured to go the extra mile. Let's make absolutely certain.
Well, what's the finish about Yisraelim?
Because Yisraelim, they're orphans. They don't know how to handle their own affairs. Yes, they don't know in particular. They're not really all that familiar with their father, with the business affairs of their father. We always try to go the extra mile to make sure that Yisraelim don't suffer a loss. This comes up in other areas of halacha also. There's even certain kinds of ribis derabanan that we allow that we allow to be done with the estate with an estate that belongs to Yisraelim.
So are we saying that in the case of Yisraelim, the halacha is not like we see?
No. We're saying that the halacha is the same for everybody.
Same.
But Shmuel is saying if it was somebody else, I wouldn't worry about going the extra mile. I'm not so worried that there might be a mistake in Beis Din. The chance of that is remote. But in the case of Yisraelim, you got to go the extra mile. Make sure that there's no possibility of any mistake that might cause them to be deprived of this money that they're entitled to.
Implying that you need extra.
You need to be extra careful when it comes to your Yisraelim. Yeah. That's the Rambam summarizes at the end of Hilchos Nachlos that you have to be very careful with things having to do with the Yisraelim. Hashem is described as Avi Yisraelim, as the father of orphans. So therefore, if you end up causing a yosim, an unnecessary loss, it's not just you're not just harming the plaintiff themselves, the yosim. You're defying Hashem. So you got to be much more careful. But you can't prove from that in fact Shmuel holds like Rebbe. On the contrary, Shmuel wrote this in the henpeck in order to make absolutely certain that nobody thinks the halacha is like Rebbe in this case. I saw an interesting explanation why. What Shmuel's concern was, there's different cases, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about, there's a Mishnah and a Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about various possibilities when a Dayan makes a mistake in the Halacha. There's something called Tabit Bar Mishnah, where you make a mistake in something that explicitly says in Halacha, like in a Mishnah, where then we say Chozer, then we say the whole judgment gets undone, we consider as though it was never decided. The thing has to go back to court. Versus, we say, if it was Tav Shikul Hadas, if he made a mistake just based on something, on applying logical principles, like the halacha as it is in the Mishnah is really unclear, and so he, using his own analysis, came to a conclusion and it turned out to be the wrong conclusion. Then we say, the din is still a din, the psak din is still in effect, but he has to repay the plaintiff or whoever it was that money was taken away from illegally. So Shmuel's concerned about over here when he says that he's mentioning that this Beis Din Toya might think that in this case the halacha is like Rebbe. That's not a matter of Talmud by Mishnah, because our Mishnah itself presents the machlokas. That would be a mistake in Shikul Adas. So therefore Shmuel is concerned what happens later on, the Dayan, when he realizes a mistake, what if he doesn't have the money to pay back? We want to make extra sure. Mela, in other words, if it was a Talmud Rav Mishnah, maybe Shmuel wouldn't be so worried about it. The whole din will be undone anyway. Everything will have to be returned to the way it was. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. But in this case, where the Dayan himself actually has to reimburse, what if the Dayan doesn't end up having money? So therefore, Shmuel wanted to make sure that there's no possibility of any mistake.
If he didn't have the money, he would have to borrow?
It would be like any other debt, yeah. No. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Eid v'dayan mitzarfin. When it comes to certifying the signatures, one of the witnesses, together with one of the dayanim, can combine together. So what are we talking about? So you have, again, a shtar that had been brought to Beis Din. It was certified by Beis Din, and a henpik was written on it. The dayanim, the three members of the Beis Din, signed the henpik, certifying that it's a valid shtar. Later on, eventually the malva pulls out the shtar, new, pay up. The loivik says, you know what, I think that the whole thing is forged. Not only the original document, but even the henpik. I think you forged the original document plus the henpik. So what do we do? So if one of the edim who signed on the shtar comes and validates his own signature, and one of the dayanim comes and validates his own signature, then that's good enough. Then that shows that's a valid shtar.
Even the other.
Well, the other aid's not available, let's say. Or the other dayanim are not available, but that's good enough. But once you have two people, again, according to the Rabbanan, all you need is two people in total. You don't need, like, Rebbe, four people. All you need is two, because Almana Shabbashtar Hem Eidin. So fine, one aid testifying about the original signatures, and one dayan testifying about the handpick, that covers it. Amar Rami Bachama Kamamalia Hoshmaita. Yes, so Rami Bachama was very impressed. He said, wow, what a great teaching this is. Incidentally, by the way, there's a lot of discussion, and we don't really have the time for it now, but there's a lot of discussion that they talk about. Are you really supposed to say that? When you're impressed by a teaching in Torah, the Gemara says in Erevin that somebody says Shmuel Zunav or Shmuel Zuenanav, if somebody says this teaching is really, this part of Torah is really nice, this one is not, then it's not a good thing. And Marashat says over there, actually, that it means, even if you just say about one thing that it's nice, you're not saying about something else that's not nice. So how does he say over here? A number of different explanations. One of them, one explanation is, if you have somebody who never praises any halacha, and then one time he hears one, and he's all impressed and praises it, then it implies it's like he's saying, so all the other ones are no good. But if he regularly says like that, then it's fine. Anyway. So here, Sir Rami Bachama is saying, this is very impressive, a very nice halacha. Amar Rava, my mal yusa. Sir Rava says, what's the greatness of it? On the contrary, you shouldn't say like that. My dukamasid sada loy kamasid dayana, because my dukamasid dayana loy kamasid sada. The fact is, each of them is giving aiders on a whole different thing. Mela, when you have two aidim on the same shtar, and each one is certifying their own signature, okay, they're both signed on the actual shtar itself. Here you have one is signed on the shtar, one is signed on the henpit. They're giving aiders about two different things. How can you combine the two of them? A henpik is a certification from Beis Din that the document is valid.
It's a different document?
No, it's the same document. It's written on the same document. It's like a Beis Din stamp on it. But each one is certifying a different part of the document, in effect.
It's a motion, in effect.
Yes. Ella, so no, ki also Rami Bar Yechezkel Omar, when Rami Bar Yechezkel came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Loi titzitzinu lahani kloli dikayo Yehuda achi mishmei deshmul. You should not pay attention to these rules that my brother Yehuda, Rami Bar Yechezkel is the brother of our Rabbi Yehuda, you should not pay attention to these rules that my brother Yehuda says, mishmei deshmul, in the name of Shmul. Meaning, it's not correct. Shmul didn't in fact say that. Maybe there was one particular case where Shmuel said that Eid V'dayin Mitzdarfin, but it's not a general rule. And the Gemara continues, Ikva Rabbi Noi Achur de Rabbi Chiyah Ba'aba L'Mizman Shumshim. One time Rabbi Noi, the brother of Rabbi Chiyah Ba'aba, came to town to sell sesame seeds. V'omar, and he quoted the din, Hachi Amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Eid V'dayin Mitzdarfin. The same thing that we just said that Rabbi Yehuda quoted in the name of Shmuel, that an Eid and a Dayan can combine. And Omer Amemar Kamamaya Hoshmaitza. This is in a later generation. Amemar says, what a wonderful teaching this is. Omer Rav Ashi L'Amemar. So Rav Ashi says to Amemar, what? Mishum the Kal Sa'abur De'imach. Just because your grandfather praised it, Rami Bachama was Amemar's grandfather, At Nami Makal Sisla. You're also praising it? Kvapacha Rava. Rava already disproved it. So don't be so... That proves that it's not like that. there's an interesting difference in Girsa over here.
He said he was ignorant.
One second. There's an interesting difference in Girsa over here. Rashi makes a point of saying that this Ikla Rabbanoi is a new thing the Gemara is saying. You have Romi Bar Yechezkel says, don't listen to what my brother Yehuda is saying.
Right.
And now a new case that you had a generation later, Rabbanoi came with the sesame seeds and the same thing happened. Well, so the point is, Rashi says, you can't say it's one long story because what are Maimah and Rav Ashi doing in a story involving people from the generation of Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda belonged to the second generation of Amor, to the third generation of Amoraim, rather. When Rav Yehuda passed away, Rava was born. When Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. So Rav Ashi and Maimah are generations later after Rav Yehuda. How could it be a continuation of the same story? However, Tosfos Reed, in fact, says it is a continuation of the same story. That Romi Bar Yechezkel saying, you know how I know he has a different girsa. Instead of ikla, he has a girsa di ikla. Romi Bar Yechezkel saying, how do I know that you should not pay attention to what my brother Yehuda is saying? And in fact, that Shmuel did not say Eid v'dayin mitzarfin because one time Rabbanoi came to town and said that Shmuel said an Eid and a dayin are not mitzarfin. Do not combine together. Because why do I know that my brother Rabbi Yehuda is wrong in what he reports in the name of Shmuel? Because Rabbi Noah, he reported the other way around. And then the Gemara continues that some generations later, Amema and Rav Ashi are discussing this thing, and Amema, not having heard of the previous discussion between Rami Bar Chama and Rava, thinks that the original teaching is a very nice one, that Eid v'dayin mitzarfin, and Rav Ashi points out to him that it was already shlugged up.
How could he not have heard
the Amoraim can't necessarily know everything that happened before. That's the job of Amoraim to collate these things. Incidentally, by the way, we're saying over here where Rav Ashi is pointing out to Amema, we're saying that Amema's grandfather was Rami Bar Chama. Rava was actually his step grandfather. The Gemara tells in Bava Basra a short story Rav Chista's daughter, when the Gemara gives as an example of the idea that children have a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh, Nitzlan Devorim and HaChamim, and was given to children, that one time Rav Chista is sitting with his daughter and his little daughter on his lap and teaching his Talmidim, who included Rami Bar Chama and Rava. Rav Chista asks her, which of these two would you like to marry when you grow up? She says, both of them. But Rava, realizing that there was a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh in what she's saying, says, in that case, I'd like to be the second one. So what happened? She ended up, when she got older, she married Rami Bar Chama. He passed away, and then she married Rava. So therefore, so Amemar is the son of Rami Bar Chama's daughter, which would make him, and it would make it that Rava was his step-grandfather. Gemara says, more on this topic of certifying the signatures of Eidim. Amar of Safa, Amar of Abba, Amar of Yitzchak Vashmur, Bamarta, Amar of Huna, Vamila, Amar of Huna, Amar Rav. If three dayanim who sat down as a beis din to certify a shtar, now here we're talking about the case. We're not talking about where they're calling in edim to certify the signatures. Here we're talking about that the dayanim themselves recognize the signatures, but not all of them. Shnayim makirin chasimis yidei edim ve'echad edim makir. Two of them recognize the signatures. One of them does not. So what do you do? Ad shaloi chosmu. If before they sign the henfik, before they sign their certification that this is a valid shtar, mi'idin b'fanav, they can give eidos in front of him. The two dayanim can stand up and say we're giving in front of the third. The third one sits there on the bench. The two of them stand up and become eidim for the moment. They say we can testify that we recognize Reuben and Shimon's signatures on this document. So now he recognizes them also.
He's one. How can one particularly became a star?
Yeah, he's not. He's not being Mekayim. Now all three of them recognize it. The two of them recognize it from before. They've seen Reuben and Shimon. Fine, before. They know what their signatures look like. He now knows, based on that these two Adim came and testified in front of him.
But still, I mean, the ones who certify the star are the ones who recognize who...
That's okay. If it had been that all three of them knew... Then if it had been that all three of them knew, there certainly wouldn't be a problem. Given that two of them know, then they can serve as aid. And we're going to talk about soon the idea that in this case, you allow an aid to become a dayan. We say in other areas of halacha not. We don't always say that somebody who's going to sit in judgment on a certain case is also able to be a witness. We learned in Rosh Hashanah that in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, they're not. We'll talk about that soon.
Din and Farshas
for sure not. We'll get to that soon, yeah. Din and Farshas capital cases. So in this case, so adshalat chosmu, before they sign the henpik, me'idin b'fonav, they can testify in front of him, b'chosim, and then they can all sign together.
Obviously, if one of the dayanim has negev adar, it cannot.
But none of them are negev adar, I mean, you're right. Misha chosmu, but if it's, that's the thing. Misha chosmu, if it's after they sign, ein me'idin b'fonav b'chosim, then at that point, you can't have them sign first, and then you can't have them sign the henpik first, and then they'll testify before him, because then, effectively, the henpik was written. It was a lie. They're saying in their henpik that we were sitting at the Beis Din of Tzvi, and this document was brought, and we recognize the signatures. Well, when they signed it, they didn't all recognize the signatures, so that would be a lie.
First, they have to recognize it.
The question is, what are you talking about signing it? Does that imply that you can write out the text of the henpik and it's just the signing of it that's the problem? That you can write out the text of it? In other words, what's the implication? It sounds like what we're saying is that they bring the shtar in front of them, they write out the henpik, they write out the text of the henpik on the shtar, then before they sign it, two of them get up and testify in front of him. Is that allowed?
V'homer to papi m'shmei d'rova. We just said it is.
What is that? That's the question. But we have a contradiction to that. Rapapi says in the name of Rava, Hai ashartet v'dayoni, d'nichta v'kamed nechvu sad yachzimat yedayu. The certification of dayonim, asharta, by the way, means Rashi says in Meloshon Chozek, like it comes from a word meaning to strengthen. Because a henpik strengthens, it makes the document have real teeth, real validity. Anyway. So the asharta, the certification of the dayanim, the nichtav, which is written, mikamed nechvu sadi achsimas yadayu, before the witnesses testify about their signatures, psula, then it's possible, dimischazi kasirkra, because it looks like a falsehood. How can they write that we recognize the signatures before they actually recognize them? Hachanami mechza kasirkra. Wouldn't it be the same problem over here? Why are you implying that it's only the signing of the henpik that's the problem? It should have to be before they ever put pen to paper to start writing the henpik, they have to be able to recognize the signatures, all three of them.
It's not only about signing
the henpik, it's about writing the text of it.
Writing the henpik and signing the henpik
should be done after they... Yes, exactly. Ella Ema, so no. Let's correct it. Actually, Kosvu, it's true. What we mean is not signing, but if it's before they wrote the henpik, then it's good. In front of a chosim, then they can testify in front of the third dayan, and then he can sign. Misha Kosvu, after they wrote it, in front of a chosim, then they can't give agents in front of him and sign, because then you have this problem of Mexica Shikra. Now, that's not necessarily the halacha, by the way. Tosfos has a long discussion over here. Now, actually, the halacha is not like a papi. Even though the Gemara is using Rapapi's din over here as an argument against this din that we just said, the fact is, Tosfos says the halacha is not in fact like Rapapi. You are able to write, you were not worried about this Mexica Shikra idea. As long as they're not actually signing, you are allowed to write something,
And testify afterwards,
right.
Because without a signature, in any case, the handpick is not worth anything, is it?
It's a little more complicated than that, but yeah.
Can you present a handpick to Beis Din without being signed and Beis Din?
No, a handpick is something that Beis Din themselves signs. It's not you don't present a handpick to Beis Din. Oh, you're saying to present it to another Beis Din? Yeah, no, of course it wouldn't be worth anything without a signature.
So the halacha is not like
Rapapi. Tosfos discusses some other possibilities also, that there might be a difference between Lachatchila and B'dievet. Maybe Lachatchila you should do like what Rapapi is saying, but B'dievet you can't say that it's possible on that basis.
So what's the halacha? The difference between Lachatchila and B'dievet, or some? You can write the handpick before and certify the shtar afterwards.
I'm not sure, actually. On the side over here, it mentions to look in Choshen Mishpat about it. But let's finish the daf first, and if we have time at the end, we can take a look. The Gemara says, Shema Min Atzlas. Based on this that we said, we can derive three halachas. Number one, Shema Min Aid Nasa Dayan. Number one, we can see from that an aid is able to become a dayan, because that's what we're saying. Two of them stand up as aidim, and then they sit back down on the bench and become dayanim. Number two, that any dayanim who already recognize the signatures, nobody needs to testify in front of them, because we see the two who already recognize it don't need anybody to testify to them. They're able to be edim. And third of all, we see that dayanim who don't recognize the signatures, you have to give edus before each one of them. You can't say, just like we're saying over here, we didn't say that because two of the Dayanim recognize the signatures, that's good enough, the third can go along with them. No, every one of them has to be able to recognize the signatures.
But what do we say, A, not to Dayan, and Dayan is not to A?
That means that person can go back and forth from being an A to a Dayan.
But what do we use Lashon?
Because that's the thing, because that's what he's doing. They're, these two are standing up first as Adim, and then they're sitting down and becoming Dayanim. Besides, that's a standard expression that the Gemara uses in other sugyos about this.
But it's really a dime and not the aid.
Okay, in this case it is, yeah. But then normally the situation is that first, yeah. Maska for Ravashi. So Ravashi says, how can you prove all three of those things from this din? Bishlema aid not a dayan shaminim. Okay, we obviously see from this case that an aid is able to become a dayan. This that we're saying, your second thing that you're trying to deduce from this din, that if the dayanim recognize the signature is ein tzrichim lahayid b'fneim, that you don't need to testify in front of them, because we see that we accept the fact that they know themselves. Why? Maybe usually you would have to give aiders in front of them. In this case, at least you have aiders is taking place in front of one of them. In other words, Rav Ashi is saying maybe you could argue that in order you can never validate a signature based on anything other than aiders. You can't just compare signatures or whatever. Or you can't just I know I recognize this. No, you need actual aiders. So if all three of it, so Rav Ashi is arguing like this. If on the contrary, maybe if all three of them recognize the signatures, that wouldn't be good enough because there are no aiders on the signatures. You need people to actually come to base camp to give aiders on the signatures. But if you have one of them doesn't recognize the signatures, two of the dayanim are able to act as aidim, and therefore aiders gets accomplished. As opposed to if all three of them knew, maybe you would need actual aiders. Or maybe it would be fine. Maybe at least you could say that two of them can stand up as agent, but at least you would have to do that. You can't just say, we'll sit down and write the handpick right away because we all recognize the signatures. That wouldn't be good enough, maybe.
You would have someone else come and...
Not necessarily someone else. You could have two of Dayanim themselves, but you'd need somebody to do it, Rav Ashi is arguing. And your third din, the Dayanim Shein Makir Chassimus Yidayim, this that you're saying that if the Dayanim don't recognize the signature as Tzrichim Lahayid B'fnei Kol Echad V'Echad, that you need aiders in front of each one individually. In other words, like we said, all three of them need to recognize it. Still, how do you know? Dilma La'olam Eimelach Ein Tzrichim. Maybe normally you don't. Maybe usually it's good enough if two of them recognize the signatures. Here again, the idea is you need to have some kind of aiders. If they themselves don't stand up as aidim, there's no aidim at all. But maybe you could argue, let's say, if aidim were to come in front of one, let's say, for example, none of the three of them recognize the signatures. But if none of them recognize the signatures, so aidim would come to one of them in his private, at home, and give aiders in front of him. He then, the argument Rav Ashi is making, maybe it would be good enough if now he goes and joins and gets together with his two fellow Dayanim and they go ahead and write the handbook because at least one of them recognizes it. In other words, Rav Ashi is saying maybe as long as you have Eidos on the signatures, it doesn't matter if all three of them recognize them.
But who says it? Not all three, but who says one is enough?
Yeah, that's the argument. We don't know. You can't prove from this din that would be the case. All you can prove from this din, you can prove that aid not the dayan, and maybe you can prove, and you can prove that some kind of aiders has to be given on the signatures, but you can't necessarily prove that it means that all three of them have to be able to recognize them.
But can you also prove that one, two other aiding is enough to?
We don't know. You can't necessarily prove it, as all Rav Ashi is saying.
So what's the?
I mean, the halacha can still be halacha, but we can't prove it from this case. Yosef Rav Abba v'kamal l'hashmaita de'ed nasadayin. So one time Rav Abba was sitting and telling over this din that an aid is able to become a dayan. Which, by the way, you know, this that we're saying, that aid nasadayin means that even though we said before that Rav had slugged up this thing, we said that Shmuel did not in fact say aid nasadayin because we proved that that it's not the case. Rav Bar Yechezkel said don't pay any attention to that. Nevertheless, we see the halacha is in this case aid nasadayin. Yeah. So Rav Abba was one time sitting and saying this din. Ace made of Safra Lord Abba, so the Psafra asked Rav Abba, I have a contradiction from Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Ra'u Shloisha Bain based in the Mishnah describes over there that three members of the Sanhedrin themselves saw the new moon. Yam Dushnayim, two of them have to stand up as Aidim, the Yeshiva Mechabrem Aitzal Yachid. Yes. The Hain Beis Din, right? The three of them are able to constitute a Beis Din, but you need Eidim. So two of them stand up as Eidim. V'yashivu mechavreim etzal hayachid. They have two other members of the Sanhedrin sit down together with their colleague to form a Beis Din. The two who are standing give edus in front of them. And then the three who are sitting are able to say that the month is declared holy. That it's Rosh Chodesh. She'ena yachid neman al yedei atzmei, because the Mishnah points out over there you can't have a yachid sit. You can't have one individual dayan sit as a based in for edus achodesh. The Gemara explains there that we learn from the fact that Eibush tells Moshe and Aaron you have to do it together. So we see that even a Moshe Rabbeinu himself can't do it by himself. That's why we need three. Well, that's the point is. The point is, if you're saying that an aid is able to become a dayan, why do you need the two extra people? Let them just sit down right there, and these two. You have three. What do we say? You have three members of the Beis Din. You have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, who saw the new moon. What are we saying? Reuben sits down. Shimon and Levi get up in front to be aidim, and because you can't have a Beis Din of one, so you have to add also Yehuda and Yisachar to the Beis Din. Why? Let Shimon and Levi get up and give their edus in front of Reuben, then let him sit down, then join Reuben on the bench, and the three of them together can be Makadosh, if you say Eid Nafadayim. Amalei, so Rav Abba tells him, Athlidi Dikashali, you know what, you're right, I had the same question. Ushilti le Rav Yitzchak Bashmul Bamarta, so I asked Rav Yitzchak Bashmul Bamarta, Rav Yitzchak Rav Huna, Rav Huna Vachir Barav, Vachir Barav Lubav, it went up the chain over there, all the way up to the great Rosh Hashiva Rav, and he told them, Hanachla Edus Achodesh Da'araisa V'kiyum Shtaris Da'rabanan. There's a difference. Edus Achodesh is something Da'araisa. In something Da'araisa, you can't say Eid Nasadayim. So therefore, yes, you need two other Dayanim over there. When it comes to something Da'rabanan, the whole concept of Kiyum Shtaris is only Da'rabanan. So what does that mean? Rashi explains it like this. Minat Torah, we would say that any Shtar that comes to Beis Din is valid. There's no, we're not going to worry in the typical case that a shtar may be forged. And the Radvaz, in fact, on Rambam says an interesting idea about that. He says that originally that was taka the case. Eventually, once Jews started living among the goyim and then semi-assimilating with them, they learned from the dishonesty of the goyim, and it became more common for people to forge. So that's when there came up the takana that you have to validate the signatures. That whole thing only exists midrabanan. The Rambam himself seems to have a different shit on this. The Rambam himself holds that the whole concept that we even accept the shtar and based in is only the Rabbanim. Midaraisa, like we said yesterday or the day before, you have to have Edim testify in person in front of based in. There's no such thing, Minatora, as Edim writing on a shtar, and that should be valid. Midarabbanim, because you want to have, in order to, that people should be willing to lend money to each other, and the Edim may not always be around, therefore they made the takana that you can write out shtaris and have Edim sign, and it's valid. So that whole concept of shtaris, including also the key of shtaris, is only dirabanan. It's something dirabanan. You can be more makel, you can say Edim
afadayim. Now, for Moshe Rabbeinu initially, it was Moshe and Aaron.
And the Gemara points out, you can never have a based in of an even number of people. A based in always has to be an odd number, so there's no deadlock.
So
if the Pasuk is implying that it has to be Moshe and Aaron, it automatically implies there has to be a third person with them.
Which pasuk says you can?
Hachodesh is a lochem, Rosh Chodesh.
Okay.
This month for you, plural.
Right.
And spoken to Moshe and Aaron.
Yes. Yeah, so who says there has to be a third one?
That's the thing, because in based in Shokel, we have a general rule throughout Shas that you can never have a based in made up of an even number of dayanim, because there could be a deadlock.
Right,
yeah. It's right. Since you have to be able to follow a majority, then that implies there has to be the possibility of a majority. So therefore, so that's the difference. So when do we say Eid Nasadayin and something Dirabanan? Something Daraisa, like Eid Asachodesh, no. And what you pointed out before is you have on top of that you have, in the case of Dini Nefashis, in the case of capital cases, it's more than that. What we're saying over here, when we say here, there's kind of two different details. When we say Eid Nasadayin, there's two different details in it. One is the situation we're talking about over here, where one of them actually stood up as an aide, and then we're talking about whether he can sit on the bench as a dayan. What about, you can have another case, where somebody saw something as an aide. He didn't actually get up in front of Beis Din and testify. Is he now able to sit on the bench for that kind of case? In the case of Eidus HaChodesh, we say yes, and in the case of Kiyum Shtaris also, of course. In the case of Dinei Mominus, no. In the case of Dinei Mominus, because you have to have, the Beis Din has to have the ability to be able, you have to have at least some members of the Beis Din have the ability to find some way of exonerating the guy, the Shaftu Eidah V'Yisilu Eidah. Therefore, you can't even have, if you have any person who actually saw the crime being committed, is invalid to sit on the bench. We're talking about Dinei Nefashos. Dinei Nefashos is invalid to sit as a dayan for it, because then there's no way that he's going to be able to overlook what he saw with his own eyes. So therefore, so we have three different levels of aid nasadayan. When it comes to something d'rabbanan, aid nasadayan, even if he actually served as an aid, he can sit down afterwards as a dayan. That's what we're saying over here. In the case of something d'oraisa, like aid as a chodesh, a kiddush a chodesh, having served as an aid, they can sit down as a dayan. Having served as an aide, they can't sit down as a dayan. But if they just saw it, yes, they would be able to sit as a dayan. That's what we're saying. The third guy who's not serving as an aide is able to sit on the bench over there together with two other colleagues. And in the case of dinin nefashis, even that wouldn't work. All three of them who saw the crime would be disqualified, and we'd have to get other dayanim. Let's see if we have a sec to look up that thing in Shulchan Aruch about when we hold
the
Rapapi.
I don't know.
There were other Jews there. I'm sure they could have found somebody. But yeah, they could have used Kur, yeah. I'm sure there were lots of possibilities. Actually, yeah. Okay, so let's see real quick. So in Shulchan Aruch it says actually that it brings both opinions. It brings the opinion that the halacha that it's okay to write the henpik before everybody recognizes the signatures as long as they only sign it afterwards.
That's what we concluded.
But then there are those who disagree with that and say that even the writing has to be done beforehand.
The halacha is it can be done before.
So that's it depends which opinion you follow. When Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, it usually means he prefers the first one, but you do have to be choshen for the second one as well. If where possible, you should write it. You should write this. So basically, it would be a lachatchila versus b'diavad type situation, similar to what Tosfos is saying.